This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including but not limited to the following.
The Hawthorne Bridge is going to close for maintenance. A horse is killed in a car accident, and a hunter dies after he shot in the head with an arrow.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely, positively, ineffably everything you need to know for Wednesday, September 29th, 2010. The Hawthorne Bridge will be closed to all users this Sunday from 7 a.m. until as late as 3 p.m. for annual maintenance work. Due to the closure, crews will grease the counterweight cables and make adjustments to other cables that help raise and lower the bridge. The lift span will be in the raised position during much of the work. The work is weather-dependent and will need to be rescheduled if there is a heavy rain. Alternate river crossings include the Burnside, Morrison, Markham, and Ross Island bridges. TriMet bus routes that normally cross the Hawthorne Bridge will be detoured across the Morrison Bridge. The closure will not impact river traffic.
Maybe while they're there, they could find some metal grating to put on the bridge that's even more slippery than what they've got now. That'd be swell.
Well, they do have those big lines that mean that you're not supposed to change lanes while you are on the bridge, but many people just ignore that, and then they try to change lanes.
I don't even know what you're talking about now.
Oh.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that if you're driving just straight over the bridge and it's raining, that the odds are like 1 in 5 that your wheels are just going to lose all of their purchase at some point, and you'll just sort of spin randomly.
Well, and even if it's not raining, if you're at the part where it's... Because there is, on the main part of the bridge, there's dividers, so you can't change lanes physically. But once you get past a certain point, you could change lanes if you wanted to, but it's still the metal grating. And there's these solid lines that say don't, you know, that mean don't change lanes. But people do anyway, and then you see them fishtailing, and, you know, it's bad. I'll just stop talking about this now.
Okay. Dawn Taylor is at the Legion of News news desk right here at PDX.fm, where you can glean this programming electronically, if you like. It is mobile.pdx.fm. Mobile.pdx.fm. That will arrive on your handheld device, whatever it might be. You can also get it via iTunes later on the day, or as a direct download here at PDX.fm or legionofnews.com. This is Dawn Taylor.
A horse was killed Tuesday night west of Rainier after getting hit by a car. The crash happened on Highway 30 near Lost Creek. One person was taken to an area hospital with unspecified injuries, according to an Oregon State Police report. Highway 30 in the area was closed while investigators responded, but the road was back open by 10 p.m. There's no word yet on how the crash happened or what the horse was doing
there. I love the idea that a guy was taken to a hospital with unspecified injuries after a car accident. He was shot. That's what it was. He was shot, and then he was taken aboard an alien spacecraft and eviscerated. Unspecified injuries.
He might have burst into flames.
Seriously. He was consumed by bees. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
President Barack Obama is in campaign mode, stirring up the crowd during a speech at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
This is which president now?
Obama.
Okay.
Barack Obama.
Okay, not Ted Obama.
No, President Barack Obama.
Okay.
Mr. Obama criticized Republicans for what he described as strategic inaction.
They figured if we just sit on the sidelines and just say no and just throw bombs and let Obama and the Democrats deal with everything, they figured they might be able to prosper at the polls. And that's what they've done for the last 20 months.
So he's speaking where? This is in Madison, Wisconsin?
Yeah, and he's doing his folksy voice.
Well, he's doing that, but it's sort of the gospel delivery. You know, it's the sort of the thing he was doing about midway through the campaign, where he kind of raises the voice and he does a little bit of the booming, the stentorian sort of delivery. But then it seems like I heard a little bit of a call and response thing going on with the audience there, which is a little odd because Madison, Wisconsin is like the whitest place on earth that's not Portland. I'm going to go back and let see.
He also comes dangerously close to saying figure.
Hold on. They figured if we just sit on the sidelines and just say no and just throw bombs and let Obama and the Democrats deal with everything.
He's talking about himself in the third person.
They might be able to prosper at the polls.
If they just let Obama take care of it.
Here's the thing is, someday when I'm fantastically wealthy, I'm going to hire just a squadron of folks to follow me around. And when I make a particularly salient point, I'm going to have them sort of just lurk about 10 feet away all the time and go, "That's right. You tell it."
Sing it, Miss Obama.
You know it's true. And then occasionally, just if it's sort of like a James Brown style whoop at something that I opine. So that's the first thing I'm going to do when I become a billionaire, by the way. All right.
Obama says political pundits are predicting a bloodletting for Democrats in November.
They're basically saying that you're apathetic, you're disappointed, we're not sure that we're going to turn out. Wisconsin, we can't let that happen.
I wonder if in the back of his head he has a little voice reminding him how absurd it is that he's talking this way in Wisconsin. Also, did you see that quote from the White House where he said, and this is the actual quote, he just told everybody to buck up?
No.
It was awesome. It was fantastic. Drudge ran it in like 1,000-point type when he wasn't busy showing that weird picture of Hillary Clinton where she looked like a demon. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, it's I don't know how you avoided seeing it.
It's weird because I go to Drudge purely to use. I don't actually read it a lot. I have Drudge Report bookmarked mainly because it has links to every single other news source like on the planet. So I honestly don't really pay a lot of attention to what he himself is ranting about. I click on it, it opens up, and then I immediately scroll down the side to go to like, you know, Variety and the Chicago Times and the LA Times and all of the different.
This was the above the fold picture that he ran for the better part of about 36 hours. And our friend Siegfried sent me a long email, sort of just on a tear about it. But there's some setting on a camera where you look through and it's to check for overexposure and over illumination in the subject that you were filming. And the way they do it is it's by showing you the negative image.
Oh, yeah.
So some photographer somewhere in one of the pools, it was just one of those things where the test footage or the B-roll footage was sent out over the wire. They moved that as the actual picture. I think it was just sort of a technical mistake. But so it's this picture of Hillary with like glowing white eyes where she looks like Father Karras's mother, in The Exorcist. And it went out of like the AP photo wire or something of Hillary like looking into the camera and stealing your soul. I'll find it. It's fantastic.
Oh,
anyway, but the same news cycle though had Obama and Joe Gibbs telling people that they had to buck up, and Obama actually, here's the great thing about him is I think that if people just continue to abandon him in large enough numbers, he might snap and get angry enough that he actually like conveys some sort of emotion or does something, because he at the same speech in Madison, Wisconsin yesterday said to the crowd, and I wish I had the quote in front of me, but he said something very close to, he said, "Well, if you're going to give up now, then I just have to assume you weren't serious in the first place," which is the sort of like snarky thing that one doesn't really expect from a sitting president.
No, that's the sort of thing you say to your 10-year-old.
Yeah, I was going to say, or as you know, your girlfriend, you're getting ready to, to move out. So, well, I guess you didn't love me to begin with, whore. He didn't say the horror part.
Obama rallied the crowd to get out and vote during midterm elections in November.
"We cannot sit this one out. We can't let this country fall backwards because the rest of us didn't care enough to fight. The stakes are too high for our country and for your future.
Woo. Somebody's bitter. You're listening to Legion of News. This is PDX.FM.
A man's body was found Tuesday after fire destroyed a single-wide mobile home in a Klamath County subdivision southeast of Crescent Lake. Oregon State Police Sergeant Mark Crisp says state police criminal and arson detectives are investigating, along with a deputy state fire marshal. Crisp said the man had been tentatively identified, but his name and age are not being released, pending confirmation from the medical examiner. So, double-wide trailer on fire, they found a guy. Union County District Attorney Tim Thompson says sheriff's detectives are investigating the weekend death of a 59-year-old man shot by a hunting arrow. Thompson on Tuesday identified the victim as Paul Rudd of LeGrand.
Really?
But not that okay. Paul Rudd. The district attorney says Rudd was hunting Sunday with 53-year-old Mark Oman of LeGrand. The two were hunting a bull elk and reportedly standing within 15 feet of each other when Oman's compound bow discharged.
Oh, man.
Thompson says the arrow hit Rudd in the head, killing him almost instantly. The district attorney says the investigation includes accident reconstruction.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Never mind. I don't even know how to... So they're only 15 feet away. So this must have been one of those, like, full-on Ted Nugent, like, power bows. Like, it's not the kind you get a target for $15 or something. This is the...
You're hunting bull elk. Yeah, you have one of those massive compound bows.
I have to say that in a weird way, though, the guys who hunt with the bow and arrow, I mean, at least that's closer to, like, an actual hunt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's closer to being, one hesitates to call it a sport, but it's at least something akin to a fairly matched contest, I guess. I mean, you know, because it takes a little more... While you still are using a tool, at least it takes more skill, I would imagine, than just pointing a thing that goes bang and then, you know, and shoots a piece of lead at like a jillion miles an hour.
Although those, you know, gigantor $1,000, you know, bows with laser sights and such on them, you know, I think they aren't much more primitive than a rifle, really.
But it's like the rifles actually just do, you know, at least you're doing some of the work if it's the bow, as opposed to the gun, which is so simple a child could use it. And they do.
And I imagine, do you have to be closer with one of those bows, or can you shoot long distances with those?
Well, considering that
obviously you can't shoot the same distance that you could shoot with a rifle.
Yeah, I mean, a rifle, you can shoot, you know, hundreds of yards away, and it would still work. I mean, a bow, and plus with a bow, it seems like there's more things that could go wrong, but given the number of things that go wrong in this with guns every year, I don't necessarily know that that's true. Do you suppose this is a thing where the arrow just, like, goes all the way through the head, like Steve Martin style?
Wow.
You know, with the friend?
I guess it would depend on where it hit you in the head.
And they were only 15 feet away.
Some parts of the skull are very, very hard.
I mean, 15 feet is not that far. I mean, 15 feet is like basically from me to the corner of the room over there.
No, someone was not observing proper safety precautions.
You know what we need to bring back in this country is dueling as a way to restore one's honor or to settle a grievance of some kind or a grudge, and it has to be with a bow and arrow.
I was going to say with pistols or with...
No.
With swords. Maybe with swords.
With bow and arrow, and then you get like plexiglass lined sort of observation bleachers where the audience can sort of, you know, they can sign up for like $1.50 to watch the duel, but then you got to do it and you got to be shielded like the hockey fans
are. Screw $1.50. Make it a reality show.
That's what I'm saying.
You want to... Don't go to Judge Judy. Go on the dueling show.
I would totally see. This is one of those places. It is one of those things that makes me want to buy a place like that Sealand joint, which is like right 14 miles off the coast of Britain. It's like its own independent, you know, micronation or whatever. That's why I need to have my own country in international waters, so I can just have like dueling Saturdays.
I was trying. It's at one point in the 90s. I was trying to get my friends to pool all their money to see if we could scrape enough money together to put a down payment on Jonestown, because it was for sale and no one wanted to buy it.
What do you mean Jonestown was for sale?
I mean, the compound, the land, it was for sale where the Jonestown massacre was.
I would assume that that just sort of was absorbed back into the government. Or did they not want that? Did they view it as being a sort of a bad luck charm?
Well, the thing is, everyone who actually...
We can't rent it. We don't know why.
And the people who live there, the natives of that particular, you know, island and such, had, you know, it bad... You know, bad feelings towards the area, wanted nothing to do with it. But the thing is, it's a whole bunch of buildings and a beach and an airstrip.
I would totally live there.
Yeah, and you figure you got to get it cheap because nobody wanted it.
It's like the you know what it is? That is a sort of the, it's like the inverse of an Indian burial ground. It's just like a gringo burial ground, you know, where it's cursed. There's nothing good ever happens here. Here's Don Taylor.
A man in Albuquerque filed a complaint with police after he said he was pulled over by two bikini-clad police officers off a freeway exit in June. Ilya Spilka said he was driving to work on northbound Interstate 25 on June 23rd when an officer pulled him over after he exited the freeway. They said, "What do you have to drink?" I said, "Nothing, water." "I'm going to ask you again, what do you have to drink?" I said, for the second time, "Water, that's it." Spilka said he was drinking water from a bottle that looks like a bottle of alcohol. The officer did not give him a ticket, but Spilka filed a citizen's complaint with the Internal Review Office more than 2 months after the incident. In the complaint, Spilka said that two female officers who chased him were wearing bikinis and had guns tucked into their shorts. The women were off-duty Albuquerque Police Department officers assisting an on-duty officer.
This seems implausible, and yet... are these the facts as agreed upon by everyone?
Apparently so.
Has the police department said that, yes, they were in fact having hot cops chase him?
The commander, Steve Warfield, said they have rules for police dress codes, but noted that their jobs are 24/7, and off-duty officers often respond to calls not wearing their uniforms.
I'm confused about this. He was pulled over just while driving.
Right. And then...
So it wasn't like an emergency or something. So why would they have been... In other words, how... I'm confused on the logistics. He's just driving down the road, so it's not like he's at a four-alarm fire. How is it they would have been summoned to pull him over unless a cop actually saw him, in which case that cop would have pulled him over?
I think he was probably pulled over by an actual on-duty police officer because it said these two women were assisting.
Oh, and they were called to the scene to back him up.
Yeah, and they heard the call or saw it happening and were nearby. And they came over to assist.
So this is like every time you get pulled over, within about 30 or 45 seconds, like a second and third cop car, they mysteriously appear in this, just like Barracuda, just sort of hovering there on the periphery in case you go crazy. Okay.
There are numerous circumstances where off-duty officers have rendered assistance, have rendered aid, and assisted on-duty officers with incidents on a daily basis, Warfield said. The IRO, which is conducting an internal investigation, said that more than half of all citizen complaints on police have been found false or aren't proven to be true.
This should totally do this. They should have 1 out of 10 cop cars manned by just some hot babe in a bikini, whether or not she's an actual police officer. Doesn't really matter. You know,
just to fluster people?
No, just to sort of give it, you know, just to improve relations with the community, with the citizenry.
So if you're a guy, if you're a heterosexual guy, you won't mind being pulled over so much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and even if you're not, it's a little bit of color. It's a little bit of splash in your day that you're not expecting.
Well, you could add other things. You could have, puppies. You have a car full of puppies. You could have midgets. They have, like, a special force of just midget policemen, and then they come to assist and hang out.
I'm a huge fan of this idea. Or maybe just, like, maybe just a juggler, you know? So while you're being cuffed and tased, there's a guy kind of doing a wah, 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 and just sort of bowling pins in the air.
A guy who makes balloon animals?
That's right. All right. You're listening to Legion of News right here, PDX.FM. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, it is the Rick Emerson Show at rickemerson.com. And if you are not currently subscribing, you have... Well, you've wasted all of your life up to this point, I'm afraid. I don't want to be the one to just tell you that in such blunt terms, but you've lived for nothing. There is no reason for you to continue existing at this point unless you remedy that.
I was going to say, maybe they can do something about that.
They can. I mean, I would hope that they do, because otherwise, I'm afraid you are at the, really, for all intents and purposes, you're at the end of your usefulness as a person. You can subscribe for the low cost of just 32 cents a day at rickemerson.com. If you feel that is beyond your financial abilities at this point, if you're simply a tightwad, what you can do is this. You can call this number. It's 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964. You leave us a... voicemail of no more than 2 minutes in length explaining why you or somebody you know should receive a 1 month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show, and we give away 10 of those each and every month. We give away 10 1 month subscriptions courtesy of our good friends at New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance. You can find out more at rickemerson.com. This is Don Taylor.
The Where's Waldo suspect, who we now know as Ryan Homsley, brother of DJ Porkchop, threw aside a backpack outside the Tualatin Bank he was accused of robbing that contained a book instructing the finder how to return it to him. The revelation came in a police affidavit that he said used a demand note to ask for $2,000 in fives and tens, using a fake bomb to threaten the teller. According to police, in the shrubbery near the bank, Police officers located a backpack and sweater believed to have been worn by the bank robber. Investigation at the scene determined that the sweater matched the exact description of the sweater worn by the bank robber. Inside the backpack was a book that, when opened, read, "In case of loss, please return to Ryan M. Homsley." A quick check of the name with the mugshot of a prior arrest and the bank surveillance video identified him as the suspect.
So, in fact, it's not just something that has his DNA all over it, which is the sweater. It is actually in a book with his name and his contact information.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Yeah. So, yeah, he left it, he said, wanted $2,000 in ones and in tens and fives.
$2,000. That's it. That's all he asked for was $2,000.
In parentheses, no die pack or boom. I have a bomb that will go off inside the bank. After I am gone, I will disarm it. No funny moves and no arming the alarm. Thank you. The teller tried best to comply, grabbing those denominations, which only totaled $505. The teller activated the alarm when he ran outside.
So do we know that he, in fact, has mental problems, or was he just high? I mean, have they flat out just said that he's crazy?
No. No, they said he has diabetes and...
Well, you noted yesterday there were mental issues believed to be at play.
I think so, yeah.
But is that just mental issues like he just smoked a big bag of meth?
It could be.
Because you almost hope... Like, here, I hate to say this. At this point, you're rooting for retardation. Because otherwise, you're dealing with somebody so mind-bogglingly stupid as to just defy explication in any further way.
I've never really had any real opinion about... Pork Chop, the DJ, any one way or another.
Well, it seems like it's
a
smart family.
I've never met him. I don't know him. I'm not a fan of the station, really, that he is on, but that's not really his fault. So I have nothing against him. But I will say that it never occurred to me at any point before that I would feel sorry for him. And right now I kind of do.
I guess.
Because this is his brother, this just gets dumber and dumber the more you hear about it.
I will say that I have any number of siblings with whom I would not wish to be. Well, I wouldn't want to be compared to them so much as I want to be contrasted with them. So maybe that's, I was going to say that, you know, the apple and the tree and the other apples and the falling and the far and the whatever, but who knows? I mean, maybe Pork Chop is he might be the most successful member of his family.
Or even better, maybe up until recently, the brother was like the golden boy, the one that everyone liked best. And now he is vindicated, and now Porkchop gets to be like the good son.
You they have forgotten. Now it's me they love. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk. I am king!
Let's do the science news.
All right, that was Ren Hoek, by the way. Here's your science news for Wednesday right here at Legion of News.
A lab-grown ovary has successfully matured human eggs and could eventually be used to help women conceive. The artificial ovary could play a role in preserving the fertility of women facing cancer treatment in the future, said study researcher Sandra Carson, a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the Warren Alpert Medical School at Brown University and director of the Division of Reproductive Endocrinology and Infertility at Women and Infants Hospital in Providence, Rhode Island. Immature eggs could be salvaged and frozen before the onset of chemotherapy or radiation and then matured in the artificial ovary. The development will also provide a living laboratory of sorts for looking into basic questions about how healthy ovaries work and how exposure to toxins such as phthalates can disrupt the organ and its function.
Such as what?
Phthalates.
Okay.
Phthalates.
That didn't help.
Phthalates.
Spelling it. I admire your spunk, but spelling it isn't really going to be... That's not a roadmap to a solution for me.
Ovaries are almond-sized organs. Most women have two, in which eggs mature before being released down the fallopian tubes, ready to be fertilized. But when aiming to recreate one, the scientists had to look under the hood at key details. An ovary is composed of three main cell types, and this is the first time that anyone has created a 3D tissue structure with triple cell line. She said her goal was never to invent an artificial organ per se, but merely to create a research environment where she could study how the three types of ovary cells interact.
Or you could just get over your obsession with having a kid that's a Xerox of yourself and adopt one.
So I'm just adding this to the list, though. We got thinking robots that can deceive you with skin that they can feel things, and now we can implant artificial ovaries in them.
It really seems like this is all leading up to that. We've got all the components here for our own apocalypse, really, is what you're indicating.
Science is just scarier and scarier all of the time.
It's like a whole bunch of people in different laboratories. You know what this is? This is like that thing with the Manhattan Project where it's like no one really knows. You know, nobody sees the entire piece. Everybody's just making one part of the puzzle. All I do is put a spring in a box. And another guy says, I just make a switch. And another guy says, they just need a plutonium. They didn't tell me why. And then you just cut to Hiroshima. Just that's what this is, sort of.
You know what this is like? Demon seed.
Good reference. That's exactly what it's like.
Except the demon seed was, like, I guess, male, because it was trying to impregnate the scientist's wife. But this is the opposite. This would be like robots that can actually get pregnant.
It's a demon. It's not so much a demon seed as it is. It's like a demon...
ovary.
Or egg thing.
Egg
yes.
thing. Yeah.
All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Demon ovum.
Okay.
More than 30% of children studied for a new research reported having been bullied, teased, or harassed because of their food allergy, according to a study published this month in the journal Annals of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. Although verbal abuse is the most common form of bullying found, over 40% of the children who said they were bullied were reported to have been threatened physically with acts such as being touched with their allergen, such as a peanut, or having the allergen thrown or waved at them.
Don't make me put these nuts in your mouth.
Bullying, whether physical or verbal, is abusive behavior that can have a tremendous impact on a child's emotional well-being, said study researcher Christopher Weiss, Vice President, Advocacy and Government Relations of the Food Allergy and Anaphylaxis Network.
I might not even take them out of the sack. I might put these nuts in your mouth in the sack.
About 12 million Americans, including 3 million children, have food allergies, according to the study researchers.
Sack full of nuts shoved right into your mouth.
These children face...
And rubbed on your face in a circular motion.
These children face daily challenges in managing their food allergies, said study researcher. Sadly, the study shows they may also be bullied about their food allergy, a medical condition that is potentially fatal. In the survey of 353 parents and caregivers of food allergic children and others with allergies, nearly one in four individuals in all age groups indicated having been bullied, teased, or harassed because of their food allergy.
All right, no, we have to... Here's how you know, and I know this, I know that every time I say this, that I get a torrent of emails from people screaming about their own alleged food allergy.
Can I read you one more thing before you say this?
Is another chance for me to say sack?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a quote from the researcher. Recent cases involving bullying and food allergy include a middle school student who found peanut butter cookie crumbs in her lunchbox, and a high school student whose forehead was smeared with peanut butter in the cafeteria.
Okay, first of all, I think somebody's doing it wrong if they think that that's... I think it's not like just touching peanut butter to any part of your body will kill you, right? I mean, this is the thing, that if you have what is alleged to be a peanut allergy, it's a thing where you really have to ingest it in some way. Like, putting it on your feet isn't really going to kill you, it seems to me.
I think there are some people that... They are so sensitive that, yeah, that if they actually just touch it, they will swell up. It's not going to, I don't think in most cases, in almost any of these cases, it will kill them, but they will, you know, they will swell up and
Didn't it seem like if just like touching that. Peanuts will swell you up and kill you? I mean, let's just be honest. You're not long for this world regardless, unless we just put you in a bubble. Unless we put you in like a plastic hamster ball for the rest of your life, you're hosed. I mean, that's the thing. You're going to die soon. I don't mean to be Johnny Buzzkill or whatever, but if touching you with a peanut kills you, we don't need you diluting the rest of the gene pool down. That's just the reality. That is just, as David Attenborough would say, it may seem cruel, but it's just nature. Here's the other thing. Mm. This is how you know, and I'm not saying there are no food allergies. Clearly there are. I also believe, and this is just me saying this, but this is also borne out by like the FDA, because you know the FDA actually, and the Centers for Disease Control, had the most fascinating statistic where they said that 75% of people believe themselves to have a food allergy, and they said the actual figure is 4%.
Yeah.
So here's how you know, just based on the information in this story, that while there are some food allergies that are real, that most are just made up. When they said that one in four people in all age groups reported having a food allergy, even though, when I bring up the peanut allergy thing, they say that this is a late occur. It's an allergy that may have only emerged in the population recently. So by definition, since that seems to be the most common food allergy that isn't lactose intolerance,
yeah.
it seems unlikely, if not flat-out impossible, that the number would be 1 in 4 across all age groups.
Right.
I mean, you can't, on the one hand, say that it just happened, like, 10 years ago, and yet, like, your 80-year-old grandfather has it. Makes no sense at all.
No.
Also, this is like when I got on the plane to fly to the, wherever it was that I flew last time. Then, what was the last plane flight I took? And
Was it Vegas?
Was it Vegas, maybe? Anyway, but just that thing where I'd bought the snack food at the airport, the little kiosk, and it was like the toffee peanuts, and then they made the tight-ass announcement over the thing that I wasn't allowed to open my toffee peanuts on the airplane, which I did anyway, by the way, and everybody lived. So, I'm just saying.
Someone in the text box says that it was San Diego.
Is it San Diego?
Apparently the listeners know your schedule better than you do.
All right.
Yeah. This is this isn't really connected to this, but I had wanted to mention this. I was getting gas on the way to work today and was sitting there and looking at the sign. I really actually looked for the first time to one of the signs that's next to the gas pump. And there's, because you really don't get past the first couple of lines where it says, no smoking, turn your engine off.
Right.
The next line down, it says to turn off any electronic communication devices.
Right.
And there's a picture of a cell phone with a bar.
The
Nelson
Ghostbusters
through
line.
Yeah.
Through, yeah.
Which I don't think I was really aware that they also wanted you to turn your cell phone off when you were by the gas pump.
Yeah.
And then the one below that says, please discharge any static electricity before refueling. You're supposed, and it gives you instructions. You're supposed to, like, apparently, like, touch metal or touch the car or something to kind of, like, ground yourself or whatever so that you don't give off a spark of static electricity when you pulled the thing off. And I don't think I had ever really noticed either of those things before this morning.
The best part is that when they want you to discharge static electricity, you do that by touching a metal object. And the closest and most prominent metal object is, in fact, the gas pump.
Yeah.
So that seems like a plan that someone hasn't thought all the way through. The thing about the cell phones, they've imported that from Britain because Britain has been on that for like 10 years. Like in Britain, I think it is actually against the law to have your cell phone in use, which doesn't make any sense anyway. Here's the thing about that is just total nonsense is, as we discovered here, when we had that weird crackling sound that was happening a couple weeks ago, your cell phone is always on whether you're making a call or not, like unless you just take the battery out of it.
Yeah. Well, they also they did something on Mythbusters with a cell phone and seeing if the electronic charge coming off of a cell phone could possibly spark. I think it was because there was some myth about somebody having a leaky like lighter in their pocket and their cell phone in the same pocket. And could it ignite
right.
in your pocket or something? And they figured out that your cell phone doesn't give off anything that can actually spark anything.
No, it's too busy giving you cancer.
Yeah.
All right. Is that the end of our science news?
It is indeed.
All right, fantastic. There's your science news for Wednesday right here at Legion of News. Brought to you by The Cleaning Solution. That's Mr. Michael Beatty. Speaking of science, you can have him come to your home and you can have him remove all of the dirt, the filth, the grime, the whatever that may have accumulated in your carpet, you know, the linoleum, upholstery, tile, your walkway, your edgeway. Because you don't want to be, one wants to be proud of one's home, doesn't one, Don? One doesn't
yes.
want to be filled with horror and shame.
No.
Was it you that, yesterday in the second show where you were telling me the thing about Patrick and the vacuuming, or was that off the air?
No, that might have been off the air.
But it was
yeah.
it was just the thing where, you know, you had your birthday party just last Saturday and Patrick was going to clean the house and then it just didn't get done for whatever. Is it because he doesn't like to carry the vacuum down the stairs or something?
No. We only have, you were there. It's an apartment.
Well,
it's
that's
one
what I thought
floor.
You mentioned. Maybe it was somebody you
it
lived earlier
else.
Where you know, you didn't want to like lug the thing up and down the stairs.
Yeah, no, we just were doing a whole lot of things and one of his chores was to vacuum and he has a tendency to always leave that till the last, very last thing. And I had sprinkled the Pet Fresh
is that the powder you put
stuff.
In the carpet and then you vacuum it out?
Yeah, and I'd sprinkled that like throughout the entire house because I hadn't gotten around to calling Michael Beatty to actually, you know, clean my carpets.
And you thought, there's no way Patrick will fail to do this.
Right, and so I was kind of, like an hour or two hours earlier, I'd said, okay, everything's sprinkled, just vacuum floor. Then we were doing all these other things, and then finally it was kind of like 20 minutes before people were supposed to start arriving. And I was like, vacuum! You have to vacuum! Vacuum! And because that's how I get before I have a party. As my husband says, I turn into Donald Duck and the pin feathers start flying. So he's vacuuming, but it seems like all of a sudden the carpet, the vacuum wasn't actually sucking anything up. And so he was wrestling with it, and so I'm screaming, you know, go next door and borrow a vacuum cleaner for the neighbors! You know, and then finally it started working and it was fine. But
okay.
It was a little crazy there for a while. And, you know, again, if I had just called Michael Beatty and had my carpets cleaned, I could have saved myself all of that.
Don't let this happen to you, friends. Call Mr. Michael Beatty of The Cleaning Solution, 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211 for your home, your office, business, or residential. 971-533-3211. Michael Beatty of The Cleaning Solution for cleaning and maintenance of anything your feet might touch. At the Legion of News news desk, here is Don Taylor.
The woman who falsely claimed a stranger threw acid in her face and then allowed people to throw her a fundraiser will plead not guilty to theft charges, according to a statement released by her attorney. Bethany Storrow of Vancouver was charged with theft after she accepted donations from a fundraiser set up to help her pay the medical bills from what she claimed at the time was an acid attack. But after the fundraiser, police said Storrow confessed to them she had made up the story about the attack and had actually splashed drain cleaner onto her own face. Court records indicated that Storrow has spent about $1,500 of the nearly $28,000 donated to her. Among other things, she bought a train ticket for her sister, went on a shopping spree at Target, and took her parents out to dinner. So, what a... She gets $28,000 and she goes to Target.
Well, and she's only spent $1,500 of it, which indicates that she's not even really... I mean, that's just unimpressive. If you're gonna grift people out of 28 grand, it seems like you might want to spend that before the upjigging happens.
A former Vancouver, Washington construction worker has been sentenced to 10 years in prison after pleading guilty to one count of interstate travel with the intent to have sex with minors. The U.S. Attorney's Office said 28-year-old Nathaniel Jewell was sentenced Tuesday in federal court in Portland. Prosecutors say Jewell started chatting online in May 2006 with undercover FBI agents posing as teenage girls. When he arranged to meet what he thought would be young teen girls at a transit station in Beaverton in October of 2006, he was taken into custody by federal agents.
You know what we're doing? We are just training an entire generation of men to associate FBI agents, to have some sort of FBI agent fetish. You know, it's always an FBI agent of these sorts. Always. And you would think, who knows? I mean, I guess it's, as we always say, it's to our benefit, apparently, the criminals are so dumb. But you would figure that at this point, it's just known it's always an FBI agent. Always, always, always. It's never not an FBI agent.
I wonder if there's like a special chat room you can go to where you can talk to people who are pretending to be FBI agents, pretending to be children.
See, I was actually just going to, I was going to make that same joke. I was going to say, what never happens is a 13-year-old pretended to be an FBI, but then I decided that was too creepy. But you can say that and it doesn't sound creepy. If I'd made that joke, it would have sounded odd.
It would have been perverse.
Let's do a little entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Wednesday right here at Legion of News.
Okay. Paris Hilton said Hallmark greeting cards have settled their lawsuit regarding Hilton's image and her popular catchphrase, "That's hot." The socialite sued Hallmark cards in 2007, claiming Hallmark misused the phrase and an image of her on one of their cards. A spokeswoman for Hallmark told AP that although terms of the deal remain confidential, both sides reached a mutually beneficial conclusion. The Beastie Boys, Bon Jovi, Neil Diamond, Alice Cooper, and LL Cool J are among the nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Who's been shut out again, Rick Emerson? Kiss.
I know. It's not even... all right.
In a recent interview, LL Cool J explained why it's been a while since he's released a new record.
Here's the thing, just by the way, but before we plunge on ahead, I had at one point, and it was like 2 or 3 years in a row that I did this, and then I managed to stick to it. I made this vow, I think, starting in, 2006, that I just wasn't even... I wasn't going to care about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations. I wasn't going to talk about them. I wasn't going to complain about them. Because I reached the realization in my own head. I just had this sort of moment of clarity where I went, they're aging hippies who don't matter. Oh, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And then I realized it was just a bunch of moronic baby boomers whose opinions mattered to no one except other aging people who read Rolling Stone. And so I just moved on. And it was just the most freeing feeling to realize that I don't care what Jan Wenner thinks. Not the tiniest little bit. No one does.
Good for you.
It was just realizing the total and complete irrelevance of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame allowed me to just be free of this agita that I had every year when I would just say, what do you mean Cheap Trick isn't in the Rock and Roll? God damn it! And then I would just spend all day pissed off about it.
It's like me and the Oscars. At some point, it used to just really infuriate me.
Yeah.
Just how things were not nominated that should have been, how things won that were just wrong over other things. And then eventually, at some point, I just realized, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. That was my whole thing. Is I thought, you know, fine, I know you danced naked in the rain at Woodstock, and you know your generation's better than mine, and whatever. Fine, you don't matter. And then I moved on. But this is who? This is LL Cool J.
This is LL Cool J.
All right, so let's see if I can. This one somehow got in here without being labeled. Wait for it. Oh, there we go. I have to turn this down. This is all. The entertainment's too loud.
I can't compromise my standards and try to create something with radio in mind or overpay some producer because he's the hit guy at the moment to give me a song that sounds like something regurgitated pop record from last year. I can't do it.
Well, you know, and you got to give it up to LL Cool J, too, because he's managed to, he and Ice-T have done that, you know, what is very, very difficult, you know, in hip-hop, which is to have any sort of longevity, because it's just, hip-hop is a sort of a weird musical style in the sense that probably more than any other form of music, with the possible exception of country, hip-hop is constantly referencing its own past and is very much about giving props, as the young people say, to the old school and whatever, and yet there isn't a lot of hip-hop that really is listened to 10 or 12 years later. It's not like a lot of people are sitting around and like listening to their Salt and Pepper records or something. Yeah. So you're doing that thing again where I can tell you're just waiting to say something. Yes?
No, I'm not. No.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
You have this thing you do where you turn and you look at the text box and you start going, uh-huh, yeah. And you do like a Lumberg thing, which usually is immediately before you give me a thought or you read something out of the text box.
No.
So I was waiting to see if you were going to weigh in on Mr. Cool James.
No. I was just thinking about sort of the humor in him talking about all of his artistic integrity and everything as he's starring on NCIS Los Angeles.
Well, I don't believe he claimed he had artistic integrity in terms of television. Mm-hmm. Don, that would be foolish. He was the man who made The Hard Way with James Woods, after all.
Yes.
Where he got to utter the great line, "I get to kill him." All right, so that was LL Cool J.
Yeah. He also says celebrity life has changed a lot since he first got started in the music industry.
Nowadays, it's a lot easier to be famous for something other than art. You can be famous for nothing.
Okay. Opening this Friday.
You're making a lot of strange noises today, too. like the wind blowing noise you made there and the sort of truculent sigh that was immediately before the story you did last.
I'm disappointed at LL Cool J.
Here's
that's
the,
all.
The
just
noise
makes
you,
me sad.
Two stories back, here's the noise you made. You went, and I wasn't going to comment on it, except now it's been followed by a so...
Maybe
are you just full of excess wind
I'm
today
leaking.
Or something? Okay. I didn't want to ask. Do I need to come and tape you up? Oh. Do we have a third LL Cool J cut?
We do. Do you care? Okay. Yes. He says people concerned about...
Well, no, we don't have to play it if it's going to be a thing. You clearly... You opted... Did you...
I opted out of the third LL Cool J.
You don't believe it's worth hearing.
I was trying to move on to another story. LL Cool J says...
No, I'm not going to play it now. It doesn't matter.
People concerned about
no.
the bottom line in the music
no,
industry
I'm,
it, seem to be making decisions in the creative
it's
process.
It's fine. I'm not going to play it. I just...
We want to hear now.
No, it's
I want to know.
I've deleted it.
Play it.
No, it can't
you
be played.
You have not deleted it's
it. It's gone.
It's there.
It's gone.
Okay.
Here's Don Taylor.
Opening Friday, The Social Network centers on the early days of Facebook and deals with the battle of wills of its co-founders Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Severin. Justin Timberlake, who appears as Napster creator Sean Parker, emphasizes that the social network is not a pure documentary and creative license was used in the film, as I believe it was in the book on which it's based.
Well, it's one of those things where the stuff in the book may in fact be true, probably is true, just hasn't been independently confirmed. Everything that has been, all of the known facts and, you know, and the story is about Mark Zuckerberg that have been confirmed. In other words, the things about which there are no dispute, they mirror almost exactly. In other words, based on the stuff we do know about him, there is no way in which all the stuff in that book isn't plausible.
Well, Timberlake explains why he did not follow Sean Parker night and day to prepare for the role.
I think that Jesse and Andrew will tell you as well that, you know, we're in the hands of David Fincher with a script that was written by Aaron Sorkin, so we're not going to, you know, our odds are best suited to portray what's on paper and what David wants us to put on film. So I don't feel a responsibility to create or I don't feel a responsibility to mimic anyone who's living. I feel a responsibility to create a character that's interesting for the film, and I feel like that's what we're all doing.
I gotta say, I've been sort of pleased over the last couple of years to find that Justin Timberlake, A, seems to be turning into, or has always been, a pretty decent guy,
yeah.
And that he can actually act as well. It's been a sort of that it was really unexpected. It was a nice surprise to actually see a guy, you know, not unlike LL Cool J. We were just talking about how he had that career longevity, because LL Cool J is a guy who should have been, by all rights, I mean, he should have been washed up. You're talking about a guy who had, his first platinum record before he was 16, you know, and still has a thriving career now. And same thing with Justin Timberlake, except the odds were even longer against Justin Timberlake because nobody from a boy band ever goes on to do anything significant, ever, 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 except for Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was the only boy band member that managed to turn himself into anything. And, with the possible exception of Donny Osmond, and they weren't really a boy band to begin with. So it's... I wonder if he just wakes up every day and realizes he has to be a good guy because the universe has just given him the biggest wet kiss imaginable. I mean, he's just defied every single probability known to man.
I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe Mark Wahlberg is kind of, in certain ways, similar. He seems to... He went through a rough bunch of middle years, and now it's like, hey, I've got a kid, and I'm married, and I'm acting, and I'm producing things, and you kind of get the sense off, and then he realizes, okay, don't screw it up.
Well, seriously.
Just don't mess it up.
Well, especially because with Mark Wahlberg, he is probably the same way in that he realizes what a second chance he got in that, you know, because he quit the New Kids on the Block. And so, before they became famous. And that's one of those things that'll haunt you for a while. That'll nag at you if you quit a band before they became, you know, the biggest thing on earth. So that's probably motivation for you, to succeed elsewhere.
Let's do more entertainment news.
All right, here's your entertainment news part two for Wednesday right here at Legion of News.
J&D Foods, which sells all things bacon, is in partnership with the bacon crafting website What Do Bacon Do? Recently commissioned artist Mike LeHue to build a life-size bust of actor Kevin Bacon entirely out of bacon. The masterpiece is being auctioned off on eBay this week for charity. The bust will be on eBay for 10 days starting today, and all proceeds for the sale will go to Ashley's Team, a nonprofit organization devoted to bringing joy to children with cancer and their families. The eBay listing states, "Buying it will make you the coolest person you will ever know, a champion of the underground meat sculpture movement." According to one of J&D's owners, the masterpiece, which comes atop a classy marble slab, will look great wherever it's displayed.
Does it actually say classy?
Yes.
Do they themselves describe it as a classy marble slab?
They do.
It's awesome.
He says, it should be in an art gallery somewhere, but it would also look nice on a coffee table. I think it'll tie together any room nicely. Bacon makes everything better. Even art.
I have nothing to say about this story, really.
I don't think it really looks anything like Kevin Bacon, however. It's just a big head with sort of a Bruce Campbell chin, and
now this doesn't look anything like bacon.
It must.
I don't mean it doesn't look like Kevin Bacon. I mean it doesn't. But this also doesn't look like bacon.
I think it must be crumbled up bacon.
Well, that doesn't count.
Formed in, I know. It's
this looks like a chia head.
It's disappointing.
This looks It looks exactly. Have you seen the chia Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Okay. It looks exactly like that after you've applied the seeds, but before it grows. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah. It should be made of strips of bacon, so you can see that it's actually bacon. I think it's
because
like,
otherwise, what is the point? Well, this is just this isn't the people's bacon. This is some sort of pretentious art bacon, and I won't have it, sir. Just real quickly, I have nothing really to say further about the bacon statue. I will say this: the surest indication that something is not classy is that it has been described by the person, by the people involved as classy.
Yeah.
No one who ever uses that term about themselves or something that they own or are selling is actually. It's like if you ever see a classified, I'm a classy girl looking for a classy man. You know that she speaks exactly like that and she chain smokes parliaments.
Bosnian escort Irma Nici has been slapped with a $16 million writ from David Beckham's lawyers after claiming to have slept with the soccer star. Earlier, the prostitute claimed Bex had certain distinguishing features, proving she was indeed intimate with him, and has challenged him to drop his pants in court to back her claim. Video footage has also emerged of the star exploding at one fan who taunted him after his team LA Galaxy played in the U.S. Beckham got into the man's face and snapped, "Do you want to say it again? Do you want to say it again?" as stunned fans looked on. Nietzsche, 26, has been dodging Beckham's legal team's bid to serve legal papers by hiding in a New York hotel and then trying to flee in a black 4x4. Beckham, 35, is suing Nietzsche and a magazine over claims that he paid her for sex.
Here at Legion of News, we want to welcome a brand new business partner, and that is Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at squireselectric.com. And here's what you need to know about them. If it has to do with wires or with wiring in your home or your business, they can make your life easier. They've been in Portland for about 12 years. And with electrical wiring, with any kind of wiring at your home or your business, whether it's one socket, whether it's an entire building, whether it's Ethernet, whether it's for your office intercom, whether it's for lights, whether it's for putting power into a new room, whether it's for repairs. Sometimes people get they get smoke damage, or there's been fire damage, or there's been water damage, or maybe you're just you're putting another room or another section onto your house, and you get to the stage of just like pulling out wire clippers and a screwdriver, and a glass of vodka, and you decide I can probably fix this myself in a day or so. Let me urge you now to resist that temptation. Resist the pull of the wires and the shiny box of tools that you received, like five Christmases ago. That will end badly for you. So you don't want to do that. You want to call Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. Free estimates. No job too small. No job too large. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or in your business, let them do it, because they know what they're doing and you almost assuredly do not. 503-252-16. And I say that as a man who almost knows nothing. Zero. It's all I can do to turn the light switch like on without electrocuting myself. So,
and I've seen you screw that up.
It's mind-boggling. 503-252-16-09. That is Squires Electric. Here's Don Taylor.
64-year-old actor Jeffrey Jones of... you may know him from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Beetlejuice, and TV's Deadwood, was slapped with 3 years probation after pleading guilty to failing to update his sex offender registry information. Jones, who pleaded no contest in 2003 to hiring a 14-year-old boy to pose for sexually explicit photos, was ordered to perform 250 hours of community service. New Jersey chef Joseph Cerniglia, who was featured on Gordon Ramsay's show Kitchen Nightmares 3 years ago, jumped to his death from the George Washington Bridge, and his corpse was found on the Hudson River last Friday. The 39-year-old was the owner of Campagna in Fairlawn, New Jersey, and the Italian was featured on Kitchen Nightmares. In the episode, Cerniglia claimed he had a debt of $80,000. "I was fortunate to spend time with Joe during the first season of Kitchen Nightmares," said Ramsay in a statement. "Joe was a brilliant chef, and our thoughts go out to his family, friends, and staff."
Now, here's the best part about this article, is that his body was found on the Hudson, and when he was on the show, Ramsay actually said something to him like, "Your restaurant is going to end up washed away by the Hudson." So there was some statement made on the show about like your restaurant is going to drift away down the Hudson, like into obscurity, and then that's where they find him. And so it's all very, and nobody really knows if it's a coincidence or not. But I am amazed actually there haven't been more suicides post appearance on a reality show.
No, yeah, I know.
I mean, because there was one other one a couple years ago, but I think it was unrelated. It was like somebody had been on Survivor, like 9 or something, but they had a history of just being nuts. It surprises me that daytime television and reality programming combined don't kill off about 80% of their participants over the course of, the next 3 or 4 years. It seems like over a 5-year span after the appearance on the show, the death rate should be at about 98%.
Well, considering the mental state of the people who, audition for these and get involved with them in the first place, that they somehow think that their life is going to have validity from being on a reality show. You would think that, yes, the aftermath
will solve all my problems.
Would be ugly. Mad Men actor Jared Harris has signed on to play Sherlock Holmes' nemesis Moriarty in Sherlock Holmes 2.
Jared Harris is?
Price.
Really?
Sherlock Holmes 2, which features Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law reprising their roles as Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, is scheduled to come out December 16th, 2011.
That's fantastic. I can really see that. So often you just see casting and it's just terrible and it's so obviously wrong and bad. That is actually, because that guy, and he is authentically British, is he not?
Yeah.
All right. See, I am totally, I mean, not that necessarily matters because it's acting, but there's a, he has a certain sort of oily gravitas that I like. Excellent. Good for that guy. Well done.
Yeah, that's all our entertainment news.
That's your entertainment news brought to you by Castalia Language Center. They are a small private language, Spanish language school based in downtown Portland. And they have class sizes limited at 8 people. And they specialize in teaching Spanish to adults, which means you're going to be learning with people at the same rate and the same way. You can find out more about them at PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com. Whether you are a beginning Spanish language speaker, intermediate, or if you have advanced Spanish skills, but you just want to polish it, you want to brush up maybe before you travel, you can find out more about them at PortlandSpanish.com, Castalia Language Center. And they are a proud sponsor of Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. There you go. That was your entertainment news. This is Dawn Taylor.
A man is suing his former employer for sexual harassment and breach of contract after he refused to attend an office retreat that involved naked men. Stephen Eggleston alleged he read websites that suggested the all-male weekend could involve an activity where naked participants passed a wooden phallus around in a circle and described their sexual experiences to each other. Mr. Eggleston, a former partner at California law firm Bisner Chase, told a U.S. court that his boss, Brian Chase, allegedly became extremely hostile and tried to bully him into going to the retreat. He claimed the firm also cut his monthly pay from $15,000 to $10,000 and then stopped paying him altogether in the months that followed. Bisner Chase is also suing Mr. Eggleston for legal fees it claims he owes the company from cases he took when he left.
Is this an American company or a British company?
California. American.
Okay, because if it was based on you know, the finite number of friends I've had over my life who are British, it seems like this sort of thing is, I won't say it's common, but it's more common in Britain, and I think it starts in, like, boarding schools and boys' schools.
Oh, yes, the spanking and the whipping and the running around naked and the humiliating each other in homoerotic ways.
Yes, it's exactly that. I mean, Paul McCartney actually has talked about that a lot. He said that, you know, in British culture, there's a lot of, I don't even know how to describe it, but there's a sort of weird kind of sexual playfulness that seems to exist to a larger degree, at least, in British male culture than in American male culture. The idea that they're in, they're at a retreat, is it in the woods or something? Is it like some Iron John business?
The New Warrior Training Adventure.
Oh, okay. That's a yes.
Is described on its website as a modern male initiation and self-examination. We believe that men have important work to accomplish in helping one another and learning to trust each other. It says, the work we do is about helping men step into a healthy and mature sense of masculinity. They do say that nudity at the retreat is not required, but the vast majority of men choose to participate, that the nude participation is never sexual. It says with capitalized never.
Of course not. No, because that would be gay.
Yeah.
Here, I want you to hold this big wooden schlong. That's great.
We're all going to stand around naked and pass around a wooden penis. But there's nothing sexual about it. Nothing at all.
When they say your monthly self-examination, that's not what they mean. All right. Legion of News comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District here in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon, and is heard on PDX.FM as well as on your mobile device at iTunes and as a download here from PDX.FM or Legion of News. com. At the news desk, it is Dawn Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler, and our chief of staff is Cheryl Kennecoa. The Rick Emerson Show comes up next at 1 o'clock at rickemerson.com. We'll have a brief musical interlude, and then the Rick Emerson Show airs at rickemerson.com here in just a few minutes. Thank you all for listening. We will see you tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of
Legion of News on PDX.FM.